Okay, this is part two and the summary or the conclusion on the John Lennon series. I'll be updating a lot of facts on the murder of John Lennon. There isn't much coming out now, but there's enough to do many broadcasts on that, and I'll be updating those in the weeks to come. But again, the question of what are we going to do about the sum total of the murder of politicians and musicians specifically, just leave aside the others, judges, lawyers, and so forth. Walt Whitman once wrote, there is an oracle current in the world that nations die by suicide. The sign of it is the decay of thought. Now, I can't really believe that this country is on that route. I believe there's a lot of people fighting back. If you write to me, I'll give you the address of a place to order information or books specifically on the assassinations and on the interlocking links, the Nazi connections, the multinational connections, the mind control books that are available now. Mind control is one of the most important subjects and has always been of interest to me since 1967, at least, the role of the government in mind control. When murders take place, such as John Lennon's or other political assassinations, Alan Lowenstein, or the shooting, Jack Ruby using his gun and shooting Lee Harvey Oswald, or George Wallace shooting, and so forth, there's an immediate scream for gun control. And gun control is very controversial. And right away, people want to take the guns off the streets or out of the homes. And this is the way the liberal, the so-called liberal, reacts. Let's get the guns. Let's have gun control. As soon as John Lennon was killed, there were people from the station here at KLRB and from the local community who met in a bar in town and had a party, and the money was to go to a lobby to fight gun control. Well, the gun control issue isn't as important as mind control. If people would use that money to force the congressman to write letters to force them in the Justice Department to expose the mind control programs at UCLA, at Boston Hospital, at Vacaville, and all over this country, and Hawaii, as I mentioned last week, and these mind control centers, our energy really should be used to study mind control, because through weapons, you get these assassinations, but the assassinations are covered up because the assassin has been programmed both to kill and to kill himself. One of the best examples is that book, The Control of Candy Jones, which is still available. And she tells how the CIA trained her to kill, not to kill, but to kill herself. They wanted her to commit suicide, and her husband saved her from that. But they trained her to hate blacks and hate Jews and Italians because they smell. I've referred to this many times on my radio tapes. The CIA, with our tax dollars, trains people who have no hatred to hate. So they can train you to hate John Lennon or train you to become a racist. And under torture, which she went under, she didn't break her mind control. And she can pick up a telephone and get instructions and pick up a phone and be told to go to Paradise Island and jump into this shallow coral reef and kill herself. Luckily, as I say, her husband began to deprogram her, and she didn't die, and she wrote a book about it. But this is a time bomb, because as long as we have robots who are trained killers, nobody is safe. There will always be guns, because private security guards such as Thane Caesar are personal security guards sent out by Lockheed, and he was the man who fired behind Robert Kennedy's head at 1 inch from the head and got 3 fatal bullets into Robert Kennedy. The security guard system has increased about 200%. I read in a New York newspaper that somebody sent me since John Lennon was killed, and Ringo has a security guard. Elton John in London has a guard, and people are very nervous and have hired guards. Well, security guards have been part of the conspiracy. The Secret Service didn't protect John Kennedy. They didn't look in the windows or the buildings, and they made all the major errors of some oil people and far right-wing people meeting and deciding the route instead of the Secret Service. deciding the route. So the murders are never going to stop by taking guns away, because the security guards who protect these people know when they go in and out of buildings and when they come home. And if they're sitting in a car and the person that they want dead is in, whether they're making a record or doing a concert and so forth, the security guard can be part of the conspiracy. I don't know where the guards were at the Dakota when John Lennon got off. Somebody saw this man in this military stance, but nobody speaks up to say who it was who saw him empty these bullets into John Lennon. They said he stood out there for 3 days, but why didn't anybody call to protect John Lennon? He owns various apartments in that building, and if a man was seen lurching around for 3 days, the security guard at the Dakota would be the one to call. And he, of course, is armed, but I'm sure he's armed. But the point is, security guards aren't the people you trust, and they have the weapons. Even this Chapman, Mark David Chapman, was a security guard in Hawaii, and he took lessons in Georgia on how to shoot and how to be a security guard. So guns aren't the problem. Gun control isn't the answer. Mind control is the problem. Even in Jonestown, there are approximately over 100 people who were involved in the murder of 909 people in Jonestown. And before the House Foreign Relations Committee, there was testimony that they were trained assassins. And nobody has asked where these assassins are, where they went to, what countries they went to, or identified them by name so we could be on the alert for them. So that many killers are out, and being as Jonestown had all the drugs for mind control and all the weapons and narcotics and millions of dollars that they needed, these people are still heavily financed and will be useful in killing someday. Now to the subject of what we can do if you're really interested. Several years ago, I changed the name of this program from Dialogue Conspiracy to World Watchers. It used to be Dialogue Conspiracy, as many of you know. I've been a Weight Watcher on and off for years. I lose weight, and then I put it back on, and then I lose it, and I go to the meetings. And all of a sudden, I realized the way that Weight Watchers operated when Jean Nadich started it. She was overweight and went to New York Hospital and got a diet. And she found it was easier to use their diet and have 10 people in her living room than to do it alone. So they would get together and decide what food was legal. They'd watch their fat fall off, go off, or if they stayed the same, they helped each other and gave support. But each one of the women in the group who lost 20 or 30 pounds and had learned how to weigh the food and how to measure it to take care of her own health and safety then became the leader for another group. And several years ago, she sold the franchise for $26 million. And I thought of all the work that I'd put in the research for so many years. It's been how many years since John Kennedy was murdered? And out of those years, maybe six people had ever contributed in terms of books, filing cabinets, and money for copying machine. And very few people have ever put anything back into the research for me or for other researchers for printing material and so forth, or postage stamps or long-distance telephone calls and all the expenses incurred. We put money out, but we don't. There's no money coming in. So I got the idea that maybe we should be world watchers, that we should have discussion groups, and maybe I should take 10 people and discuss with them the situation, the books to read, suggested people to write to, have a meeting. Weight Watchers is $5 a week to go to a meeting to watch your own fat go away. Maybe the price of a tape cassette, or if you live in town here, you can tape it yourself and it wouldn't cost you anything. And bring the tape to the meeting and invest an hour and a half a week. That's what they do. And they sit and talk about whether it's summer squash or banana squash or half a banana versus a whole banana, and for their own welfare and to take control of their own lives, they get together to discuss what is healthy for them. So I thought maybe someday, as a world watcher, if I took 10 people that wanted to invest the time and energy, I would discuss with them and have meetings, just as Jean did with the other women that came to her, about what is going on in the world, the sources of information. And then when those 10 people have go on, say, 16 weeks and understand the process behind the assassinations, the way they're covered up and so forth, they could become leaders and get 10 more people in their group. And that would, within a short time, you would have 100 people writing to congressmen, writing to the news media, calling attention to new evidence, writing to the Justice Department, the police departments, and so forth. In other words, we'd write to Tom Brokaw or Jane Pauley and tell these people, or Jack Anderson, why are you covering this? Why are you lying? Why don't you investigate this? Here is this lead. And we would tell them, just based upon information that we receive through the normal channels of the news media, what we expect, instead of them telling us what they want us to know. One of the scary things that was in the news last week was an article by Cronkite. It's about Mr. Cronkite, that he's going to have instant history lessons. It's an article by Fred Hessinger from the New York Times. Instant history lessons by Cronkite, his exciting plan. And he tells how when certain events come down, they can reach for a computer or a compressed obituary of a person, or if something, if the Soviet troops go into Afghanistan, you get an instant history of Afghanistan. Now, this is called the Satellite Education Services, put up by the Rockefeller and the Sloan Foundations. They've underwritten the production of pilot programs, and they're beginning for the Los Angeles Public Broadcasting Station. Now, this is scary, because these programs will go into Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Boston, and Washington. And they're going to blanket the school system with instant education. They'll tell you that Lee Harvey Oswald shot John Kennedy when there was no physical proof that he even held a gun, no fingerprints, no witnesses. They'll say James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King. James Earl Ray came out with an article in the Tennessee newspaper this week that Ben Jones published in his newsletter on the links of the assassins of Martin Luther King to narcotics traffic and organized crime. I talked about that last week. Those same connections you'll find were behind the John Lennon murder. And Ray names these people, and these people he names are directly linked to Reverend Hargis and the Christian Crusade and the people that hated John Lennon for his Jesus remarks and hate rock music. So, the instant history lessons that the Rockefeller and Sloan Foundations are going to put out will negate what the researchers are doing. It will deny the truth about who killed Robert Kennedy. They'll say that Sirhan Sirhan did it and leave out Thane Caesar. And if a country is invaded, they'll give a reason that is not true, such as the history of World War II, when Hitler said that the Polish were causing the confrontations, and actually it came out that Hitler had Germans dressed as Poles that created the excuse in 1939 for Hitler to invade Poland. Or the Gulf of Tonkin incident that Lyndon Johnson used to escalate the Vietnam War, when it actually was the radar on our machines. Cronkite has been trusted by the American people. He is a pathological liar who tells you one-tenth of the truth or one-hundredth of it. So at a time when the Rockefeller and Sloan Foundations and the school systems want to use Cronkite's capsules, it's more important than ever that we hold on to our truths and fight for them and know them, and that involves study. If I invested 17 years to protect the next 20 years, some of you are going to have to make that same investment. And maybe it takes the time of the meetings. As I say, maybe we should meet an hour and a half a week. I'll give up the time if you are willing. I know of a place that's been offered to us. But, of course, again, you have to screen out those people that are sincere. This may be a ruthless thing to do when you're on the air. You're open to all kinds of people coming in that may want to come. We need people that are solid in the community, that have been here a long time, people that have followed various exposés and been activists at one time, or people who are established. They have to have a phone number or an address, not an unlisted number, and they can't take off for trips a back and forth to different countries and cities with no noticeable means of support. They can't be divisive. I never went to a Weight Watchers meeting and argued that I could drink whole milk when they said skim milk. There were certain restrictions on losing weight, and there's certain restrictions on gaining information. And anybody who would be divisive if we get a group together is disinvited, right? That they can't come back. We don't have the time or energy to handle divisiveness. I can turn you on the information. The newspapers have listed addresses, and for those of you who get the tapes, I'll include them in this week's flyer of the press relations offices in New York of ABC or NBC News or the CBS television or public broadcasting service or the address of the House Subcommittee on Communications or the Senate Subcommittee on Communications. And our local newspapers have the addresses of our Congressman Leon Panetta or Senator Alan Cranston or Senator Hayakawa. The addresses of public officials are always available. All you have to do is go to a who's who in the library, and I buy them at used book sales. Almost every well-known person is listed there. And what we have to do is flood them with letters and information and express our outrage. And sometime, maybe public officials will have shared our feelings but not have known which way to turn. People like Leonard Bernstein, who spoke up on the anniversary of Kennedy's death this year at the publishing party and reminded people of that terrible tragedy and how it was covered up. I am willing to meet with some of you to start a group if you want it. I have not done it before. I found that the anti-war movements were very dispersed. The WILF, the groups on the peninsula were too divided and not active enough. They settled for too little, and they disbanded too fast. When they thought the war was over, they broke up. I never did think that the war was over and continued constantly at doing my research. You can write to me at Box 22511, Carmel 93922, if you are interested in having a discussion group. Don't write to the station, because I only come here once a week on Sunday nights. But I do have a P.O. box, and if you can't remember that, you can write to my home and give your name and your telephone number. And if you're interested in discussion groups, I will get back to you. Information is power, but our ability to disseminate information is going to decrease when Ronald Reagan is in office. There's a new book out called How Western Culture Dominates the World by Anthony Smith, put out in London by Oxford Press. It's describing the pressure on the third world countries who depend upon the Associated Press, United Press, Reuters, and other news media in France, and that the satellites are taking over all the information so that they're going to be squeezed out of the information flow. And where the third world felt that they had some chance after the 60s or during the 60s, to break colonialism, they feel more desperate now than ever. And also, this book describes the use of communications to control major companies, the mail of major companies, of radio and television stations, to control the news, to analyze weather, to size up harvests or troop movements or mineral deposits. And this book describes something that I've known for a long time, that satellites can tell mineral deposits, undiscovered mineral deposits in countries that the very government is unaware of its existence. You can see it through the satellites. Then the United States engineers a coup and puts into office those people that will guarantee are getting the uranium or the bauxite or whatever it is. The satellite tells us, because we have the technology, where schools of fish are, where oil reserves are, where minerals are. And the third world is left out of it, and the messages can be disseminated to the major corporations, the IBM company and others, and leave those other people out of the communication network. This is a book on the geopolitics of information. When computers take over, the important thing is that they're run by people and that people have to hold on and fight for their history. They can't let go of it, and therefore it's more important now to learn the facts of the way the government was taken over in 1963, to learn the facts of who killed John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy or John Lennon. And there is no way to do this except by meeting together and talking. There are no plays or television or movies, the diversionary kind of movies. Some movies are very good, like The Tin Drum, and I saw some good movies this year. But the diversionary fun things ought to be put aside if you really realize the crisis in your freedoms that's going to be coming down in a short while. One of my favorite sections of the Bible is in Ecclesiastes, the seasons and the time for every purpose. But somehow or other, what was written then is perverted or turned around. People don't allow us the luxury of the time that is appropriate to behave in certain ways. Our instant communications, our instant satellite, whether it's the television or entertainment industry, our instant news that solves murders within 12 hours deprives us of the right to know how to function. I have the headlines of when John Lennon was killed. He was killed at 11 o'clock on the 8th of December, and the morning newspaper on the 9th had solved it. One headline says, ex-mental patient killed John Lennon. Another one says, a wacko, a lone wacko killed John Lennon. There, another one says, a man with a mental problem who identified who wanted to be John Lennon but tried suicide. By killing Lennon, he killed the Lennon in himself. These instant solutions within 12 hours, when most of the world was asleep and most of these newsmen didn't wake up till morning, they had to be writing their stories in their sleep, they deprive us of the right to figure things out. In Ecclesiastes, the way this particular section goes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die. Too many of these public officials are dying too young. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. We don't have time to pluck up what is planted. It is trampled on. The visions or the dreams or the hope of getting along together, the anti-war period, the kids in San Francisco, the digger movement, they weren't allowed the luxury. Drugs were thrown in. They were poisoned. Their minds were blown. They weren't allowed to see the fruit of their effort of getting together. A time to kill and a time to heal. We don't have time to heal anymore. Before one killing is over, another killing takes place. Whammo. If it isn't Jonestown, it's John Lennon, and before that, it's Pope John Paul I, and there was the Nelson Rockefeller murder. There's a series of deaths, John Paisley, problems to solve, done by the same people. We don't even have time to heal before the other murders come. A time to break down and a time to build up. We're denied the right to build. We can't save money to live on. We can't plan for the future. We're afraid of 1984, the electronic boss. Reagan's going to step up the CIA. How can you build? And Ecclesiastes says, a time to weep and a time to laugh. If you laugh today, it's going to be, as Dylan said, a hard rain's going to fall. There's not much time to laugh because every time you feel gay, you have to weep. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. After John Lennon was killed, Yoko said, I see him smiling up in the sky. And people got together for dances, and we have our wakes and so forth, which are great. But there is too much mourning, and there's too much dancing. And it's time that we even stop dancing and talk and let out our plans or feelings of where we're going to turn to confront these monsters. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There isn't even time to gather them together. Togetherness is disrupted by so many diversions, the entertainment, the hi-fi, again, the TV and so forth. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Hold close the people you love and embrace them and reject people who are not interested in your society Throw them out, whether they're your brother, your relatives, not your parents. Only go forward. If people stand still, leave them. Some people will tread water all their lives. They never want to get to the other end. They just want to stay in the middle, and their arms and legs go. Pass them up if you want to get to the other side, if you want to know the truth. A time to seek and a time to lose. We're all losers, and we're losing too much. We've lost Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and Otis Redding and Jim Croce, and the list goes on, and Elvis Presley and John Lennon and more to follow, as well as the politicians. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Keep your memories and cast away your false notions, your false heroes, your false leaders. Think for yourself. Don't let those phony Jerry Rubens pop up again or those Abby Hoffmans. Think alone. A time to rend and a time to sow, and a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I kept silent all through my young adulthood and up through the 50s. I kept silent when Richard Nixon was framing Alger Hiss and when the Rosenbergs were prosecuted and given the electric chair, and through the Cold War and the Hollywood Red Scare and the House Un-American Activity. When John Kennedy was killed, I spoke up. Someday you will find a moment where you will not want to be silent anymore, and then speak, and if necessary, yell. A time to love and a time to hate. Define who you love and stay with people that want social progress and clean air and free the oceans of pollution and against the mob putting radioactivity into the waste sites and living with radiation and germs and diseases and poverty and scaring old people out of their savings and increased health plans. Love people that are pro-life and feel free to hate people that are digging your grave. And a time for war and a time for peace. It's going into 1981. We have to distinguish who we're going to make war with and who we're going to have peace with. And I really hope for you that you have a happy new year, and that we work for peace, and that we work for it together, and know who our common enemy are, the destroyers of life, and work for positive things with people working for positive things, and stay away from the others, because there isn't that much time to spread your time. Use your hours fruitfully, thoughtfully, and fight hard to survive. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth the struggle. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. Have a good year.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.